Today's shiur is a Masechta Erechin on Daf Chav Dalet. We will begin with the last Mishnah on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Begins the Mishnah. Afal Pisha Amru, even though they said, as we learned before, on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Aleph, that Chayve Erechin, that those who are Chayiv to pay Erechin, Mimashchin and Oisai, as Rashi explains, that the Gizbur can enter their houses and take property against their will. You can take it by force. But yet we're going to learn from a pasuk on the Chav Dalet Amud Aleph that the bare necessities of life, the Gizbur has to leave over for this person. Even though Hegdish is still owed money from the Erechin, but they have to leave over the bare necessities. And what does that include? Neisten loy mazayin shloshim yayim. The Gizbur has to leave over food for 30 days. As Rashi explains, either he has the food in his house, or he leaves him money with which to purchase the food. Uksush ne'emaster chodesh, and clothing for 12 months. Mita moitzas, a bed that is made up with bedding. There's machlokes ha'poskim if this includes a pillow as well. And the Meforshim tell us that actually there is a second bed that is included, because in those days they used to eat lying down on a bed, and we don't want a person to eat on the same bed as he sleeps on. He has to get at least 4 amas of exercise between eating and sleeping, and therefore, actually, there are two beds. One is made up with mutsas, it's with bedding, but there's another bed that he eats on. And then v'sandolov, included in that, you have to leave over his sandals, utfilov, and his tefillin, not his talis. What is the difference between his tefillin and his talis? So the Meforshim explain, because the tefillin is a chayves gavra, that's an obligation on the person himself, and therefore that we have to leave over to him, whereas the talis is a chayves mona, it's an obligation on the talis. If the talis has dalid kanfois, then it requires tzitzis, but it's not a chayv on the person. Plus, if someone wears tefillin every day, so then he's zoicha tarichas yamim, and therefore this as well is considered kedei chayov. This is considered the bare necessities which the gizbur has to leave over that he should keep his tefillin. Now, all of these things that are mentioned here, Rashi tells us, either he has them, or the gizbur has to leave over money so that he can purchase them. However, the halacha is that this is only loy. The gizbur only leaves it over to the person who made the erechin himself. He doesn't have to leave over money for his wife and children. And we will learn in the next Mishnah on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph that any clothing that the wife and children have, the gizbur is not allowed to take. He's only allowed to take by force from the person who made the erechin himself, but not possessions that are owned not by him, but by his wife and children. So here, what the Mishnah is saying is that's clothing that they're already wearing, or that was purchased for them, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. However, money to buy clothing, that he doesn't have to leave over. The Gizbur doesn't have to leave it over for his wife and children. And the Meforshim explained that that's where Rashi understood that if we're saying that the person who made the Erechin has something extra over his wife and children, it must be that his wife and children are not given any money to purchase by the Gizbur, whereas the person who made the Erechin himself, if he doesn't have that commodity which the Mishnah allows him for a bare necessity, the Gizbur has to leave over money. This is the difference between Ishto Yubonov and the person himself. In the clothing, there is no difference. However, in the money that is left over, that's only for the one who makes the Erechin and not for his wife and children. Continues the Mishnah. Im Hoya Uman, if he was a craftsman and he has to have utensils in order to do his work so that he can have parnasa. So the gizbur leaves over nice and loishnei kliomnis. He leaves over 2 of each item that the uman requires. Mikol min umin. And Rashi says that there are different kinds of work which require 4 or five different kalim. And from each keli that the person requires for his profession, he's allowed to have one keli plus a spare. And now the Mishnah gives examples. Charash, a carpenter, noisen loy shnei mitzadin, or as the Maseres Hashas says, the correct word should be ma'atzadin, the ayin coming before the tzaddik. Shnei ma'atzadin, those are two planes. Ushnei megirois, and two saws. Rashi says, a megira is sakin mali pegimois v'chaytich mar. It's a knife that has a lot of indentations in it, and it cuts very fast. This is a saw. The Tosfos Yontif says that this is only a mushal, because if he requires a hammer or a screwdriver, he requires other items in order to practice his profession, then, as we saw in Rashi, he might need four or five different tools for his profession, and they're all permitted, and he can even have a spare of each one. Rabbi Lezer says, Im hoya iker, if he was a farmer, so he's allowed to have, says Rabbi Eliezer, nice and light simdai. The Gizber gives him a pair of oxen. As Rashi says, that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that this also is considered his kliumnis. The oxen, although they're not tools, but this is how he makes his profession. This is how he makes his parnasa, by having a team of oxen to do the work on the farm. Chamor, if he's a donkey driver, nice and light chamor, then the Gizber has to leave over his chamor. What happens, as Rashi says, the marshal? He had three matzadim, he had three planes, but he only had one megira, one saw, ein oimer, limchor samarub, likach min amuad. So the person who made the erichin can't tell the gizbor, well, let me sell the third plane that I have, and with that money, I'll purchase a second saw. No. He gets two out of the three planes, and whatever he had already from the one which he had the lesser amount of, in this case being the saw, he keeps one saw. If it, as Rashi explains, we'll see it in the Gemara, if it was good enough for him till now to function with one saw without a spare, we don't sell the third one to buy a third plane to buy him a second saw, but rather the third plane goes to Hegdish, and he remains with his one saw. And now the Mishnah says that Hamagdish Nechasov, we could say that there should be the word here, Avol. Avol Hamagdish Nechasov, even though we learned concerning Erechin, that the Tefillin is kept by the one who made the erichin, but if a person is magdish all his property to Hegdish, malin loy tfilov, then we include in that assessment his tfilin, and if he wants to get his tfilin back, the last Rashi on the daf says, upoidoy son, he now knows how much the Bezdin estimated the tfilin are worth, and that amount he gives to Hegdish, and then he gets his tefillin back. The Rishash explains that there is a chilek, there is a difference between somebody who's magdish all his property to the Beis HaMikdash, then we say it includes even tefillin. Whereas by Erechin, he's not giving all his property to the Beis HaMikdash. He has a monetary obligation, a chiyuv, that he owes to Hegdish. And now he doesn't have enough to pay, so the Gizbor is taking away his property and leaving him over only with his bare necessities. So there we say that the tefillin are considered part of his bare necessities, and the Gizbor has to leave him with his tefillin. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Erechin Perek Vav Halacha Gimel tells us that if by Hamagdish Nechasev we assess his tefillin, so certainly any of his clothing or his tools of the trade, they are certainly assessed, and if he wants them back, he has to be paid them from Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, my time, what is the reason, in fact, why the Gizbor leaves over the bare necessities? If this person owes money to Hegdish, so Hegdish should be able, the Gizbor should be able to take everything away from him if he has this debt to Hegdish. Where do we learn that you are mechuyev to leave over his bare necessities? The Gemara answers Dar Mikra, because the pasuk says, Ve'im machu me'erkechom, if he's poor. The simple, we'll learn first of all the simple pshat in the pasuk, and then we'll see how the Gemara is going to darshan it. Ve'im machu me'erkechom, if he is poor and he's not able to pay his entire debt, So then we know that the halacha is the Bezdin, the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbar has to make an evaluation of what his property is worth, and he only pays what he's able to afford, hesegyad, what he's able to afford based on the determination of the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk is saying that if he cannot afford to pay everything, we take away from him based on what we estimate that he's able to afford, but he has to give what he could afford, and at least, as the Mishnah said on Dav Zayin Amid Beis, he has to give at least a sella for the Erechin to the Beis HaMikdash. But if this were the only pshat in the pasuk, the word who is extra. It could have said, v'imach me'erkecha, if he's too poor to pay the full value of the erchin that he pledged to the Beis HaMikdash, then there is a concept of hesed yad, what he can afford. Why is the word who put in there? Therefore, we learn out that we split the pasuk into two parts. V'imach, if he's poor, and then we're going to make an assessment that he has to pay based on what he has the ability to pay, hesed yad. When we make that assessment, who me'er kecho? And that's what the Gemara concludes. Hachayeyu me'er kecho. And as Rashi says, the top Rashi, Darshin Hachayeyu, the Hachim Hashma, who yiyekaya me'er kecho? If he's too poor to pay the full value of the erchin, then make sure who, that his havai, and that's why the word who is put in here, his being, his existence is sustained while you're assessing what he's able to afford to pay, but make sure that you leave over the bare necessities of life, because he has to be able to withstand the taking away of his property for the erechin. He has to remain with who? With his avaya. Make him live it as you are making the erechin evaluation. Continues the Gemara, explaining the next part of the Mishnah, Avaloy l'ishtoy ubanov, that what the Gizbar only has to leave over the bare necessities to him, but not to his wife and children. And the Sefer HaTrumas points out that this halacha is not only a halacha by Erechin, but we learn out from the Psukim that a halva, when Bezdin satisfies a loan and takes away money of the loiva to pay a malva, and they also have to leave over the bare necessities, and there too, it's only the bare necessities of the person, the loiva, and not of his wife and children, even though he has a mitzvah to be mefarnes, to support his wife and children, but that's only a derabbanan. And prius b'chayv, mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa. To pay up a loan is a chiv of the Torah, and therefore, the chiv of the Torah trumps the chiv midrabbanan of the parnasa to his wife and children. My time, so the Gemara now wants to understand why by Erechin does the Gizbar not have to leave over for the food and clothing of his money, for the food and clothing of his wife and children. The answer is because the Pasuk said, who? Me'er kecho. V'lo yishtu banav me'er kecho. The Gizbar only has to leave over the bare necessities for himself and not for the Lovez, the one who made the Erechin's wife and children. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer Reimer, Imhoya Icher, if he was a farmer, Noisin Leit Simda, he gives him a pair of oxen. Apparently the Tanakhama disagrees with this, and the Gemara wants to understand why. Rabbanan Hanu Lav Kliunis Ninu. This, the pair of oxen are not considered tools of the trade. El Nechasim Ninu. These are considered property, and from the property, the Gizbar has a right to collect that property for the Erechin, and to satisfy the Erechin that he owes to Hegdish, he leaves over the bare necessities, but this is not considered Kli Umnis that the Gizbar has to leave over according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. And then the Mishnah continued, Hoy Eloi Min Echad. Let's say, as we had the Mashal of Rashi in the Mishnah, if he had three planes, but he only had one saw, so we don't say that we sell the third plane to buy a second saw, but rather the third plane is taken by Hegdish, and he remains with the one saw. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? Just like he was able to function with one saw till now, now it's enough for him also. Why all of a sudden, once Hegdish gets involved, are we going to deprive Hegdish of a third plane? What's the Havamina to deprive Hegdish if he was able to function with only one saw? Why would we think that we would sell the third plane to buy a second saw? The Gemara answers, Ma'at Hasayim, I would have thought. Until now, the Havalelu Shulei, since he had something to lend, he had a third saw, he had one saw to work with, he had a second saw as a spare, and then he had a third saw that he could lend out. So when people knew that he had a tool that he could lend out, have a mushlalei. So they would in turn lend him a second saw. He never needed a second saw because he could always borrow it from someone else because he had a plane that he could lend them. But Hashda now, if we were going to take away his third plane, so he has left one plane and a spare, which he needs also. So people are going to realize they're not going to be able to borrow from him. So then they're not going to want to lend to him either. The lack of the mashalilei. No one's going to lend to him. So I would have thought, Loi, I would have thought that we should allow him to sell a third plane so that he can buy himself a second saw. Because the situation has changed. If we're going to take it away, no one's going to lend him anymore. So we cannot leave him in this precarious situation of having one saw and two planes. Kamashmalan, that no. If he was able to exist with only one saw till now, that's the chiddush that he remains in that situation. And Bezin takes away the third plane. Hamagdish es nechas of ma'al leitfilin. We learned in the Mishnah, the last din of the Mishnah, if someone consecrated all his nechasim to Hegdish, we have to assess his tefillin, and the tefillin are then, he pays for the tefillin, and he's poted them from the Bet HaKabayis. Ahu Gavri Gemara relates a story, there was a certain person, this Veninu Linich, that he sold all his nechasim. Asla Kameh to Rav Yemer, came to Rav Yemer, Omar Lahu, so Rav Yemer said to the people there, Slikulei, as Rashi explains, remove the tefillin from him, and if he wants to get them back, he'll have to be poted them. Salikalu tefillin, take off the tefillin. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalin. What is the chiddush of this? Masnisani, it's an open Mishnah. What's the whole discussion over here? It says in our Mishnah, Magdish Nechasiv Ma'aloi tefillin, that tefillin, that if he consecrated his tefillin to the Bet HaKabayis, if he consecrated all his property, it includes his tefillin. So if he sold all his property, it would include his tefillin as well. The Gemara says, no, I would have thought there's a difference between being Magdish and selling. Ma'al the same Ahasam by Hegdish, who the sovereign mitzvah kavidna. He's thinking to himself, I did a mitzvah, I was Magdish the tefillin, I was Magdish everything, including my tefillin. By being Magdish my tefillin to the Bet HaKabayis, I'm doing a mitzvah. Aval in Zvuni, but when it comes to selling, we could have thought that mitzvah de gufe loy zoven inshi inish. Maybe a person does not have in his mind that I'm going to sell a mitzvah that's an incumbent upon myself, such as tefillin. Kamash Malan, that was the chiddush of Rav Yemer, that selling all your property includes tefillin, just like Magdish, all your property includes tefillin. If you want to get it back, you'll have to be, as Rashi says here, you'll have to be poda, and you'll have to pay for it and get the tefillin back. Continues the Mishnah, the new Mishnah, that even though in the last Mishnah we learned the difference between Hegdish and Erechin, in this Mishnah we're going to see that they're the same. Echad ha-magdish nechasiv, echad ha-marach atzmai, whether you consecrate all your property to the Beis HaMikdash, or you have an erichin that you owe to the Beis HaMikdash, ein loy, and this refers to the Gizbor does not have a right, b'ksus ishtoi v'bloi b'ksus bonav, as we mentioned earlier in the shir, clothing that the wife or the children are already wearing are not shaloi, as Rashi says, they do not belong to the person who owes it to Hegdish, and therefore the Gizbor cannot take it from his wife and children. V'loi b'tseva, the Rambam explains that this means in clothing that have been dyed with different colorings, shetzava l'shman, that the husband commissioned a worker to dye them l'shman on behalf, Rashi says, l'shem ishto yubanav. So if they were already designated for his wife and children, so then the Gizbor has no right to collect from them. V'loy b'sandalim, and not with shoes, sandals, chadashim, new one, shalach on lishman, that he bought for his wife and children. Rashi says, the chiddush here is, even if they haven't worn it yet, it was just bought for his wife and children, that's enough to be considered that it's his wife's and children's, and therefore the Gizbor has no right to do it. Even though the Chachamim have said that Avodim Nimchorim Biksuson L'Shevach, as Rashi explains in the case of Yisoyim, who have Avodim, and we want to sell the Avodim, and we want to fetch the highest value of the Avodim on behalf of the Yisoyim. So the Chachamim said that you're allowed to dress up the Eved in a fancy suit, and his value will get enhanced, as the Mishnah continues, She'im, Tilakach like Sus B'Shleishim Dinner. If you'll buy a suit for 30 dinner, Mishubach Mana, he will become increased 100 dinners. So if he was worth 20 and you bought a suit for 30, now he will be worth 120. He'll be worth 100 more. So overall, it comes out minus the 30 that the suit cost. It comes out instead of being worth 20 by wearing a $30 suit, he is now worth 90. V'chein para, by a cow. If we wait with a cow, Rashi says itlis is yom hashuk, the day of the market. Mushubachas, she becomes worth more. The prices of a cow on the market day increases. Mushubachas he v'chein margulis, a jewel in malanoy selakrach. If we bring it up to the big city where Rashi says that's where the merchants gather, mushubachas he, it becomes worth more if it's in the place where they're doing all their business and not in a far off place. So even though for the yisoyimim we will do all of these things to gain more money for the yisoyimim, so potentially each of these items, an eved or the margolis or the para, has greater value in a different place or in a different time. The halacha is ein lehegdish ela mekaymai v'shaitoi. Hegdish, either when you're estimating the value of something which someone donated to the Beis Hamikdash and he wants to get it back and he's going to have to be paid it, so you don't value it what it would be in a different place or a different time. You valued here and now, in this place and at this time. Or the same thing by someone who made an erichin and he doesn't have money to pay, and we come to assess him and we are going to go with hesed yad, what he's able to pay. So we don't say that the value of this eved, as Rashi gives the example here, which was 20, and if he would wear a suit of 30, he would now be worth 120. In other words, he would be worth, instead of 20, he would be worth 90, besides the $30 suit. So we don't estimate it for this person at 90, but rather we say that all it is worth, the eved is worth 20. And then Rashi, in the Gemara, in the Divrei HaMaaser Shlayishim, Margulis Lekalim, Rashi says that the person himself, once he gets this cheaper assessment, he's allowed to go and wait, and he's allowed to go to a different place that will fetch more money, or wait for a different time that will fetch more money. That's to his advantage. But Hegdish itself has to only evaluate it b'mekoymoy v'shate. Rashi says mekoymoy refers to a jewel, which, if it's brought to the big city, would be worth more. And shaitoi, time, that refers to the other two cases. That refers to a para who, in the yom hashuk, if he waits until the market day, it would be worth more. And the eved has also a potential, if you'll go out and buy him a nice suit, and he'll wear it, he'll also become worth, instead of 20, he'll become 120 minus the 30, he'll become worth 90. So we say no, that Hegdish is dependent on the here and now. And we're going to learn this in the Gemara from a pasuk, Tana Rabbanan, v'nasnas ha'erkecha b'yoyim ahu. You give the erichin what it's worth on that day. From here we learn out, shalai yisha margulis l'kalim. For kalim, Rashi says, means someone who's an adam kal va'ani. He's a light person, he's poor, he's not a heavy, rich man. You don't wait with the margulis until it could be brought to a different place and be worth more. You assess it with the here and now. From this pasuk by Yoimahu, we learn out that you have to assess it in the here and now. What do we learn from the end of the pasuk? Kodesh Lashem. So we learn out that Stam Egdesh is the Betek Abayis. If a person was mugged or something plain, and he didn't specify to what he was being magdish, and there are many things that he could have been magdish to. He could have been magdish to cherme kohanim or cherme mizbeach. He could have been magdish for the kohanim, for the mizbeach. So we say no. Kodesh l'Hashem. Stam hekdesh is if a person is magdish plain, we say that he meant it to the highest form of kedusha, which is to Hashem, and that means for the Beis HaMikdash, that is for the upkeep of the bayis, for the bedek habayis, for all those who have finished perik shum hayisaimim. Hadrin Allah Shum Hayusaimim, Hadrin Allah Shum Hayusaimim, Hadrin Allah Shum Hayusaimim. We are ready to begin Perik Ein Magdisha. This Perik deals with someone who is Magdish a Sade Stei Achuza, as opposed to the last Mishnah in the Perik, which deals with someone who's Magdish a Stei Mikna, which is a field that he purchased from someone else, and that has different dinim than someone who consecrated a stei achuza. What is a stei achuza? This is an ancestral field. In other words, when Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, so this person's ancestors were from those original owners of property, and this was handed down from generation to the generation until it came to this inheritor, and he was magdish this ancestral field, this stei achuza. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukosai, in Vayikra Perichov Zayin Pasuk Tazayin, Ve'im istei achuzasa yagdish l'Hashem, v'hoya erkecho l'fi zaro yizera choymer soirem b'chamishim shekel kesef. When he comes to buy the field back, because that's what's done usually when someone is magdish a field to bedek habayis, the bedek habayis sells it, or we call it that we are poda the field from hegdish, the owner is poda the field from hegdish, and the Torah does not give value to the field what its actual market value is, but rather there's a set value put in the Torah. What is that set value? According, Lefi Zarei, the Pasuk says, according to how much you could seed in that plot of land. A Zera Chomer Sarim, a Chomer is a kur, so we're referring here to an area which is called a base kur, where barley seeds can be planted in this area, and this area is 75,000 square amos, and depending on how large an amo is, in modern terminology, it would be between 4.2 and 6.3 acres. So for that amount of land, the person would have to give to Hegdish 50 silver shkolim. In the Lashon of the Gemara, shekel is called a sela. Every sela has four dinrim to it. So he would have to give 50 silver sloim. Now, there's a difference whether the owner himself redeems the karka or whether somebody else redeems the karka. If somebody else redeems the karka, he has to give this value that we just said, Zera Chaymer Soirim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. However, if the owner redeems it, then not only does he have to give that 50 shkolim, but he has to also add a fifth as well. Now, if he is redeeming two Chomer Soirim, so then he would multiply Chamishim by two, and he would pay 100. If he was being poured a three times 50, 150. 1.5, he would give 75. This is the shear that the Torah sets for the case of pigeon of a stei achuza from Hegdish. But then the pasuk continues, Im mishnas hayovel yagdish sadeyu ke'erkecha yakum. And this means that if he does the pigeon right after Yovel, and there are 49 years till the next Yovel, so for those 49 years, that's when the Torah gave the shear of the amount of 50 shekel kesef. But then the pasuk continues, the next pasuk, v'im acher ha-yovel yagdish sadeu. If after the Yovel, he consecrated his field, and the Gemara explains that yagdish here actually means when he's poda, because it depends when the owner is going to redeem his field. If he does that after the Yovel, and there are already several years that have passed by from the time that he was magdishit until now, from the last Yovel until now, several years have gone by, then he doesn't give 50 shkolim, 50 slum, but rather, v'chishiv lo yakoyin es hakesef, al pishonim ha-noisris, ad shnas ha-yovel, v'nigram erkecho, that we subtract from the 50, we subtract the years that have already passed by, and he has to only pay the remaining years until Yovel. How much does he pay per year? So the answer is, we divide the 50 shkolim by 49 years, and that comes out to one sela and one punjin per year. There are 48 pajoinos in a sela, and therefore, if we multiply one sela and one punjin per year, we come out to 49 slaim, 49 punjin, which equals 50 slaim and one punjin. So even though we have an extra punjin here, and we said that it's exactly 50, and each year is one sela and one punjin, but according to that cheshbon, we're coming out with an extra punjin. The answer is that in order to exchange the punjins and to make it into a sela, to make it into that 50th sela, the 50th shekel, you require another punjin. You have to add for the payment to the money changer to make that exchange. And therefore, you really have 50 plus the cost of the exchange, 50 shkolim plus one punjin for the cost, and that equals exactly to a sela and a punjin per year. Therefore, Lamashal, if he wants to be poda, the stei achuzah from Hegdish, after 20 years from the last yovel, he has 29 years left until the next yovel, he will have to pay 29 slayim and 29 punjins. And finally, the halacha is that if the owner does not redeem the field himself, and somebody else redeems the field, then the halacha is that it does not go back to the owner in Yovel, but rather when Yovel comes, it goes to the kahanim of that mishmer of the Yom Kippur of the Shnas HaYovel. They are the ones who receive this steyachuza. If it's only the owner himself who can get it back, but if somebody else was poided, then it goes to the kahanim on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. Begins the Mishnah. Ein magdishin lefnei hayovel pachas mishtei shonim. You cannot be magdish something, a field, before yovel, 2 years, less than 2 years before the next yovel. The simple pshat of the Mishnah would seem to be that if someone was magdish a field within 2 years of the next yovel, the hegdish would not be chal. This is not correct, however, and the Gemara will say that the real pshat in the Mishnah is that we cannot use the Giroyon system that we spoke about in the Hagdama to this Perek of paying a Sela and a Punjin for each year that is still remaining until the Yovel. That system can only be used up till 2 years before Yovel. Once you're trying to be part of it within those 2 years before Yovel, you cannot use the Giroyon system, but rather you have to pay a full 50 Shkolim, 50 Slot. Second halacha of the Mishnah, v'loy goyalin achar hayovel pachas mishana achas. You cannot redeem after the yovel has begun less than a year. The exact pshat in these words of the Mishnah, what you will see is a machlokes amaroyim between Rav and Shmuel. The third halacha of the Mishnah is, ein mechashvin chadoshim lehegdish. We cannot consider months when it comes to Hegdish. And the simple meaning is that, for example, if 20 years have already elapsed from this Yovel cycle, there are 29 years left, even if it is already 20 and a half years, he still has to pay the same amount, which is a sela and a punjin for each of the 29 years that are left, which will be 29 sloim and 29 punjin. He cannot say, well, I only have to give 28 and a half sloim and 28 and a half punjin because a half year has elapsed. When it comes to Hegdish, we don't deal with Chadashim. We say a partial year is considered a full year, and therefore you owe Hegdish the full 29, whether it is 20 years have elapsed or 20 and a half years have elapsed. It makes no difference. Avil concludes the Mishnah, Hegdish Mechashev Chadashim, which means when it's the Toelis of Hegdish to count months, then Hegdish has the right to count months. And this will be, as we explained, the first halach in the Mishnah, where you're within 2 years before the next Yovel, which Rashi tells us, we learn out from the Pasuk, Al Pi Shonim HaNoisorois, that the Giroyan system of subtracting the years that have already gone by and only paying a sel and a punjin for each of the remaining years, that system is only when you're up to Shonim, Al Pi Shonim HaNoisorois. The Ein Shonim, says Rashi, Pafs Mishtayim, There has to be at least 2 years to implement this system. The Lashon Shonim Rabim, the Mir of a Rabim, is two. Less than 2 years, if he wants to be Poda, he cannot use the Geroyan system. And he cannot say, I'll pay a punjin and a sella for each of the remaining years. No, here Hegdish is not Mechashiv the Chadashim, because it's for the detriment of Hegdish. Here Hegdish counts the Chadashim, because to count the full years would be to the detriment of Hegdish. And therefore, they say, no, it's already 1.5 years until Yovel, and then it's not 2 years. We don't look at it as 2 years. We count the Chadashim, and therefore you have to pay a full Nun Shkolim. Begins the Gemara. As we said, the parshas of the opening words of the Mishnah is that you cannot be Magdish a field, a steyachuza, if you're within 2 years of Yovel, Vermin. I'll ask you a question from a Brisa, Magdishin. You are able to be Magdish, Bein Lifnei HaYovel, whether it's before Yovel, Bein La'achar Yovel, or after Yovel. The only time he can't be Magdish is Bishnas HaYovel Atzma Lo Yagdish. Then he should not be Magdish, Im Higdish. And if he was Magdish, any Kedusha, the Kedusha is not Chal. So here it says you can be Magdish before Yovel, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's within 2 years or more than 2 years. So it would seem to indicate that even within 2 years, the Brisa is telling us you could be Magdish. The Gemara answers that Rav Shmuel, Damar Tavai, Rav Shmuel both said that the Pshat in our Mishnah is a Magdishin Ligoil Bigirua Pachs Mishtei Shonim. The Girua system of only paying a sel and a punjin for each remaining year until Yovel only works up till 2 years before Yovel. Once you are within 2 years before Yovel, there you have to pay the entire Nun Sloim, Nun Shkolim. And now we understand differently what the Mishnah is saying. We learned the Mishnah, Ein Magdish, and you're not able to be Magdish of Nei Yovel Pachs Mishtei Shonim. Now we're saying you are able, but you're not going to pay a sel of punjin for the remaining time. You're going to pay full Nun Shkolim. So the Gemara continues, V'kivin de Ein Magdish only go the Geruah Pachs Mishtei Shonim, since the Geruah system does not work when it's less than 2 years. You're going to have to pay the full Nun Shkolim. Yei Adam Chasal Nechasav. A person should have mercy on his possessions. Val Yagdish Pachs Mishtei, and don't be Magdish within 2 years, because if you're going to want to be Goelit before Yovel, you want to be Podit before Yovel, you're going to have to pay 50 Shkolim. If you will be Magdishit and Podit before the 2 year limit, so then you'll only pay a Sela and a Punjin per year. But otherwise, you're going to have to pay within the 2 years, you're going to have to pay 50 Shkolim. So therefore, don't be Magdish and don't be Poda within this 2 year limit. And now we understand the last words of the Mishnah, Aval Hegdish Mechashiv Chadashim, where it's to the betterment of Hegdish, they do count Chadashim. They look at 1.5 years as not being 2 full years, because then they would only get a sel and a punyan. They look at it as 1 year and less than a year, which is not a full 2 years, and therefore we do not have the Geroyan system. You have to pay a full 50 Shkolim because it's to the betterment of Hegdish. Itmar, we have learned. What happens if somebody is Magdish's field in the year of Yovel itself? We have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Kedusha, it is holy. The Kedusha is Chal, V'noisen Chamishim, and if he wants to be part of it, he has to give 50, just like you have to give within the 2 years before Yovel. On Yovel itself, you also have to give 50. Ushmuel Omer Eina Kedusha, it's not holy. Kol Iker, the Kedusha is not Chal at all. You're not able to be Magdishit in the Shnas HaYovel. And in fact, in the Brisa that we learned before, it seems to indicate clearly, like Shmuel, it says, "Ubishnas haYovel Atzma Lo Yagdish v'Higdish Ena Kedusha." The Gemara is going to ask this question soon on Rav. Maskevlo Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef has a question first on Shmuel.
We find further in Daf Chav Tesamid Beis that a similar machloik is between Rav and Shmuel concerns someone who sells his field to another person, and the halacha is that when Yovel comes around, the field goes back to the Meicher. What about if he sold it in Yovel itself? So there's a machlokes. Rav says the Mechira is Chal. The Lokeach loses his money. The Mocher keeps the money. But immediately, since it's the Yovel, it bounces right back to the Mocher. So the Mocher gets the money, and he gets his karka back, as the halacha is during Yovel, that it goes back to the original owner. However, Shmuel says no. And Shmuel has a kal v'chomer. If when I sell it before Yovel, it goes out in Yovel, and it goes back to the Baal, to the original owner, so certainly if I sell it during Yovel, the whole Mechira should not work. So Rabbi Yosef now has a question. Bishlam alinya Mechira to Polik Shmuel later Rav. I understand by Mechira that Shmuel argues on Rav, Ikla Meimer Kavachimer, because there Shmuel uses a Kavachimer. Uma Mechura Kvar Yaitza. If you're telling me the halacha is that something that's sold goes out in Yovel, so this thing that hasn't yet been sold, isn't it a kal v'chomer that the whole mechira should not be good? Because Shmuel's shita is that the meicher has to give the money back to the lekeach, because the whole mechira was not a valid mechira. So I understand Shmuel's argument on Rav concerning mechira that you have a kal v'chomer. Elohacha by Hegdish, miyik lememer kal v'chomer. Here, l'chayra, you cannot say a kal v'chaymer. Why? But now we learned in the Mishnah, higia yoivel v'loy nigla. What happens if yoivel came about and the owner who had been magdish it did not redeem it? So what happens to this carcass? So he loses his steyachuzah. And who gets it? The kahanim get it. Kahanim, as we explained in the Akdama to the Mishnah, the kahanim who are on the Mishmar, on Yom Kippur of that Yovel, they divide up this karka. Kahanim nechnasim l'tarka, they go into the karka, v'noisn d'amel, they have to give their money, they have to purchase it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So the fact that they have to pay for it is a raya, that it doesn't go out automatically from Hegdish. So l'chayra, Shmuel here doesn't have a kal v'chaymer. How can Shmuel argue on Rav and say that if you're magdish something in Yovel, the whole kedusha is not chal? That would only work if he has a kal v'chomer as he has by mechira. But l'chayra by hegdish, he doesn't have a kal v'chomer, because by hegdish we see that something that was in the rishus of hegdish before Yovel, when it comes Yovel, it doesn't go out automatically from the rishus hegdish. V'haraya, it doesn't go back to the Bialim, it goes to the kahanim, and they have to pay for it. So you see, it's still rishus hegdish. So I don't have a kal v'chomer to say, if I magdish it, the kedusha shouldn't take effect whatsoever. So what is Shmuel Svara here by Hegdish to argue against Rav? L'chari the Hegdish should be chal. The Gemara answers Shmuel Krab Shimon Svir Lehi. He also Krab Shimon Da'amar Nechnasim Lehi Naisna. The Kahanim can go in and they don't have to pay anything. So therefore Shmuel holds that we see it does go out of the Rishus Hegdish, and therefore there still is a Kal V'chomer. As we turn to the Chav Dal Amid Beis, but Rav Sav and Rav holds, Saif Saif Labailam Mikom Ahadra. Einachanami, it goes out of Hegdish, but it doesn't go back to the Bialim. If it was really leaving Hegdish totally, then it would bounce back to the Bialim. It's not doing that. Who is it going to? The Kahanim who did Nafke. It's going out to the Kahanim. The Kahanim Mishulchan Gavaya Kazachu. And the Kahanim are an extension of Hegdish because they are receiving this karka from Xeris HaKosim, because it says in the Torah, Hashem is giving it to them. So it's still considered like in the Rishus of Hegdish. If it wasn't in the Rishus of Hegdish, it should go back to the original owners. So therefore, even if I hold like Reb Shimon that the Kohanim don't have to pay anything, but that's not a raya that it would left Hegdish, we'll say that the Kohanim are an extension of Hegdish. So Rav holds again that we don't have a kal v'chomer as Shmuel has by Mechira when it comes to Hegdish. The Gemara asks, my time at the Rav, and Tosfos points out that even though we just said that Rav doesn't hold of Shmuel's kal v'chomer by Hegdish, but the Gemara is still seeking a pasuk that we should learn out from the pasuk that by if you're magdish something during Yovel, that the din of nun shkolim that we have on the first year after Yovel, when we have a full 49 years left until the next Yovel, and if you're paid at the first year, you have to give 50 shkolim. How do we know? What's derived from a pasuk that applies when you're magdish in Yovel itself? The Amikra, because the pasuk says, that when do you pay the 50 shkolim, when you're paid it, the im mishnas hayoivel, if he is being paid it from the year of yoivel, vishnas hayoivel b'chol. So Rav learns that mishnas hayoivel includes the year of yoivel itself, not the year after yoivel, but the year of yoivel itself, an idea of ad v'ad b'chol. You're talking about the shnas hayoivel, you're including the shnas hayoivel as well. Shmuel, but Shmuel disagrees, because Shmuel mixiv v'im bishnas hayoivel, if it would have said in the shnas hayoivel that you were magdish and you were poda it and you have to pay 50 shkolim, I would agree. It doesn't say that. It says mishnas hayoivel ksiv. And therefore, I learned, says Shmuel, mishnasha achar hayoivel, the 50 shkolim begin from the year after yoivel. Because in yoivel itself, you don't have to be poda, because the Hegdish was never Chal. So the whole 50 Shkolim is not relevant during Yovel itself. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rav, according to Rav, Haina d'chsiv, I understand the two psukim that we find in the Torah. The first pasuk says, Im Mishnas HaYovel. That refers to Yovel itself. There you pay 50 Shkolim. This next pasuk says, Vim Acher HaYovel. The year following the Yovel, there you start the Giroyon system. Elo l'Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, my achar yovel. What's the second pasuk saying? Achar yovel. The first pasuk was already achar yovel because mishnas yovel does not include yovel according to Shmuel. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel will learn achar that the first pasuk mishnas yovel is the year after the yovel. The second pasuk of him achar yovel means if you're already holding in the second year that's after the first year that's already after Yovel. So you're speaking about two achers. And on the second year from the Yovel, that's when you begin the Geroyon system. Meis V'Gemara has a question on Rav, and this is going to be from the Brisa that we learned on Amud Aleph. Magdish and Bein Lefnei Yovel, Bein Lacher Yovel. You can be Magdish a Sneh Chuzah before Yovel or after Yovel. U'bishnas Yovel Atzmo lo Yagdish, and Yovel itself you should not be Magdish. V'im Higdish Eina Kedosha. So Lechayr, this is a clear a refutation of Rav's Shita, because here we see that you cannot be Magdish on Yovel. Amalach Rav, so Rav will answer, Eina Kedosha B'Gerua, Aval Kadosh V'Nais N'Chamishim. The Mishnah, the Brisa does not mean that there's absolutely no Kedusha. There is Kedusha, the Kedusha is Chal. The Brisa just means that during the Yovel period, you do not have the system of paying a Selah and a punjain every year, as you have in the other years of Yovel. Here you have to pay the full chamishim, but it is Kaddish and you give chamishim. Ask the Gemara, you can't say such a pshat in the Braisa. Why? Michlal, the Lefnei Yovel, Kaddishel, Ligol, Bigurah. If we're saying that in the Braisa, that the year of Yovel is different than the years right before Yovel, including the 2 years right before Yovel. So you're telling me that the year of Yovel is Kaddish, but you have to pay Nun. It's not Kaddish leaning Giroa, but it is Kaddish that you have to pay Nun. So when it said Lifnei Yovel, it's Kaddish, it must mean that you can even give the system of Giroyan, where you only pay a sel and a punjin for each year, and that would even include the 2 years right within the 2 years right before Yovel. That's not true. Vor Rav Ushmuel Damer Tavayu. We're speaking about Rav. Rav himself, as we learned on Amud Aleph, agrees with Shmuel that a magdishin ligoyel ligurah pachsim shtei shanim, that within 2 years of the next Yovel, you cannot use the deduction system. There you have to pay a full nun. So you cannot say that that's the difference between Yovel and Lifnei Yovel within 2 years before the Yovel. So Amalach Rav, Rav says, you're right. In the Braisa, I'm going to have to say that Braisa holds that the difference between Yovel and Lifnei Yovel is that Yovel has to, that Yovel, there's no Kedusha Chal whatsoever, and Lifnei Yovel within 2 years before it, Kedusha is Chal, and you do not use the Geroyon system. But that Braisa is going like a different Mandi Yomer. I'm going like one Mandi Yomer, and that Braisa is going like a different Mandi Yomer. I'm like Rav, Hamani Rabbanani. That's going according to Rabbanava. Now, the Amri Karebi, and I'm going like Rebbe. The Amri, the Rebbe said, and this pertains to the Pasuk, Mi Yom Rishnad Yom Hashvi, which we find in Shmois Perik, Yud Beis, Pasuk, Tes Vav, Ki Chol Oichel Chometz V'Nifrasa Nefshahu. Mi Yisrael, mi yoim harishon ad yoim hashvi. So the Rabbanan hold that you need another pasuk to tell us that chametz is usher on the first day and the seventh day. They don't say advad v'chlal. However, Rebbe holds you don't need a different pasuk to teach us the first and the seventh day. Rabbi says Rishon v'Rishon b'chlal miyom Rishon v'ad yom Shvi. So Rishon includes the first day, ad v'ad b'chlal, and Shvi u'Shvi b'chlal, and the seventh day also. So I see that Rabbanan hold that when you have miyom harishon, it does not include the first day. And Rabbi holds miyom harishon includes the first day. So hachanami, the Bach changes not bishnas, but mishnas. Ushnas ayyavu b'chol. Rabbi will hold that you do include the first year that you're starting from. When you say mishnas ayyavu, it doesn't mean from the year after yayvu, but it includes yayvu itself, just like Rabbi says, from miyom harishon. Rashi points out that this does not mean that Shmuel will only go according to the Rabbanan, to not include the Shnas HaYovel for Kedusha and for Pidgin purposes, but rather Shmuel, otherwise it will come out the Machlokes HaMaroim between Rav and Shmuel, is a Machlokes between Rabbi and the Rabbanan. Rather, Rashi says that Shmuel will hold that he can even go according to Rebbe. When did Rebbe say that we include the first and the 7 days? That's when the mem makes sense. Mi yoim harishon, mi ad yoim hashvi. So since you're going from this day until that other day, so then of course I say that the mi yoim harishon includes the first day and until that seventh day. I have a reason why I have that mem, because I'm going from here till there. Whereas over here, even Rebbe would be moida that you, says Shmuel, that you would not include the year of Yovel. Because here you're not going from the year of Yovel to another year. In fact, the other years have the whole halacha of Giroyon, of a cell at a punjin for each year. And you subtract the years that have already taken effect during the Yovel. So here, Shmuel holds that Rebbe will also be moida that since it should have said, as Shmuel said at the beginning, it doesn't say Bishnas HaYovel, it says Mishnas HaYovel. There's no reason to have the mem of Mishnas HaYovel. If it's saying Mishnas HaYovel, here even Rebbe will be moida to the Rabbanan that will say Ad V'lo Yad B'chlo, and you're starting the year after the Yovel and not the Yovel itself. So Rav holds that his Shita can go like Rebbe and not like the Rabbanan. The Brisa will go like the Rabbanan. And Shmuel says his Shita both according to the Rabbanan and according to Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, if you're telling me that Rav is now going like Rebbe, I have a kasha on Rebbe. E k'Rebbe, punjin my avidite, why do we, in the Geroyan system, where we subtract the years that have already transpired, that you don't pay for them, you only pay for the years that are left until Yovel. How much do you pay? A sella and a punjin. Why do we need a punjin? Because the Chayra, we don't have just 49 years, we have 50 years. If there were 49 years as we made the mathematical equation in the Hagdama, so then you have to have a cell and a punjin, which comes out to 50 sloyim, and one punjin extra, that was for the money changer. But according to Rebbe, you will now have 50 years, according to Rav. Because if Rav holds like Rebbe that we include Adva Ad Bechlal, we include the Yovel as well. Mishnas HaYovel includes the Yovel. So from the beginning of this Yovel until the beginning of the next Yovel is a total of 50 years. If it's 50 years, then when you come to the Giroyan system, all you should use is one shekel per year. Rebbe, punjin my avidite. Why do I have for each year an extra punjin? I don't need it. V'chi temeles leg. And if you're going to tell me, ain't a chanami, that Rebbe doesn't hold you need an extra punjin. Maybe Rebbe holds all you need for each year is one shekel, one sella. V'atnan, we learned in a Beferish Mishnah, not like that. Higdish time, Mishalash Shalom Fnei Yovel. If 2 or 3 years he was magish before Yovel, not within 2 years, but a full 2 years or 3 years before Yovel, Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, Oimer on the I say, nice and sella punjin. You have to give per year a sella and a punjin. So you see that Rebbe does hold of the Selu Punjin system. I l'chayre, there's 50 years, and there's 50 shkolim, and if you divide 50 shkolim by 50 years, you only have one shekel per year. The Gemara answers, Rebbe k'Rebbe Yehuda svirlei. Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Da amar, shnas chamishim oil l'kan. Rebbe Yehuda's shita is that the 50th year of every Yovel cycle is the last year of the 50 years, but it's also the first year of the next 50 years. So it comes out that even if I include the Yovel year according to Rav, who holds like Rebbe in his interpretation of Rebbe. But, and I start from the beginning of the Yovel year until the beginning of the next Yovel year, but I only have 40... I only have four, according to him, I include the first year of the Yovel year, so I don't have 50 years from the beginning of this Yovel till the beginning of next Yovel. I only have 49 years from the beginning of this Yovel until the beginning of the next Yovel. So again, I have to divide the 50 Shkolim by 49 years. That equals the Sela Upunjin. Ask the Gemara. So Lishmuel. Let's now analyze Shmuel. Shmuel says that you cannot be Magdish during Yovel. You cannot be pointed during Yovel. There's nothing to be pointed. It's not Hegdish. So according to Shmuel, Lema Rebbe Karabban and Tzirli. We just said that Shmuel goes, Rashi told us, that Shmuel goes both according to the Rabbanan and according to Rebbe. Now Shmuel, according to Rebbe, will be forced to say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan who argues on Rebbe Yehuda. And the Rabbanan hold that Yovel does not go for the last 50 years and it's the first of the next Yovel cycle. The Rabbanan hold that it's only the last year of the 50, and there according to the Rabbanan, from the end of the Yovel year until the beginning of the next Yovel year, you have 49 years. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have 48 years. So Lema Rebbe Karabbanan Tzirle. Let us say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan. Deik Rabbi Yehuda, if he's going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel holds that according to Rebbe, Rebbe will hold here also will be Maida to the Rabbanan that ad veloy ad bechlal, that we're not going to count the Yovel year. So if you don't count the Yovel year, and the Yovel year, like Rabbi Yehuda, is oilu lakan o lakan, it comes out that you only have from the end of the Yovel year till the beginning of the Yovel year, you only have 48 years altogether. Because the Yovel year, you cannot be Magdish or Poida, according to Shmuel, and he says that he goes like Rebbe also. And if it's Oilu Lakan Olakan, so you only have from the end of this Yovel year to the beginning of the next Yovel year, you only have 48 years in between. And if so, my question is, Salu Shtei Punyanis Meboilei, then if you take 50 Shkolim and divide it over a period of 48 years, then actually you'll need a Sela each year and two Punyanis, because there are 48 Punyanis in a Sela. So if you have a Sela and two Punyanis at the end of 48 years, you will have a total of 50 Shkolim. So why do you only have a Sela and a Punyan? You need Sela and Shtei Punyanis. Must be that Rebbe is going to hold like Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, you don't count the Yovel year. You don't count the Yovel year as the first year of the next Yovel cycle. And according to Rabbanan, there are 49 years from the end of the first Yovel to the beginning of the second Yovel. Oh, if there's 49 years, then again the Cheshbon comes out to a Sela and one Punyan per year. So that's his question. So the Gemara says, yes, Al Korach L'Shmuel, Rebbe K'Rabbanan Tzirle. You're right, according to Shmuel, you'll have to say that Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe Yehuda. So it comes out that the way that we get to a Sela Punjin is either that we hold like Rav, that the Yovel year is included, and then you hold like Rebbe Yehuda, that there are only 48 years from the end of one Yovel to the beginning of another Yovel, because the first Yovel is also counted as the first of the 49 years. So then you have a total of 49 years of a pigeon, and therefore you have a Sela and a Punjin for each of the 49 years, or you hold that you don't include the Yovel year in your calculation. However, there are 49 years, according to the Rabbanan, between the end of one Yovel and the beginning of another one, then again, you come out to a Sela Upunjin. Continues the Gemara, Toshima, coming here from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, V'loi goyel en achar yovel pachas mishana. The simple pshat of the Mishnah is that once the Yovel has started, within that first year of the Yovel itself, you cannot make Gula. That's very good pshat according to Shmuel. Bishlam Shmuel loy goyelin l'acha Yovel pachas mishana. Once the Yovel has started, within that Yovel year, you cannot make Gula. Why? Because there's no Hegdish during that year, so you can't make Gula either. El l'rav, but according to Rav, where there is Hegdish, and you are able to make Gula even in the year of Yovel, so my acha Yovel shana. What does the Mishnah mean that you cannot make Gula after the Yovel begins? Answers the Gemara. Misav Acher Yovel Mamish, Rav tells you, who told you to learn Pshat that Acher Yovel means in the first year once the Yovel began? No. My Acher Yovel, as we turn to Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Be'emtzi Yovel. We're talking, as Rashi says, 20 or 30 years down in the cycle of the Yovel. And what it's telling you is the Chol Kama Deloy Mal Yulei Shana Loy Migralei. If you don't have a full year, that's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means Loy Goyel and Acher Yovel, once the Yovel has started. The cycle has started, and now you're in the Giroyan system of a sel and a punjin per year. Now you cannot count Pachas Mishana. As Rashi says, if the person is holding in Nissan in the middle of the year, he can't go to the Hegdish and say, I've already finished 20 years, and now I'm in Nissan, it's 20 and a half years, and therefore I have to give you 28 full Sloyim and Pajoinim for the last 28 years before Yovel, but for this year I only have to give you a half the cell and a half a pungent. No, he's not able to do that, because Hegdish, to its detriment, does not count months, it counts it as a full year. It doesn't matter whether it's 20 full years or 20 and a half years, it's considered as if you have a full 29 years left, and you have to give, in this case, 29 Sloim and 29 Pajoinin. Ask the Gemara, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, my kamashmul on day mechashim chadoshim and mehegdish, that you don't count months for hegdish unless it's for the hegdish toyelas. Habahedikatani, we learned that further in the Mishnah, mechashim chadoshim and mehegdish. So why are we saying it in the beginning of the Mishnah? V'loigoyelin acher hayoyvel pachas mishana. It's saying the same thing. So the Gemara answers that according to Rav, matam loigoyelin acher hayoyvel pachas mishana. According to Rav, it's all one halacha. What is the reason that you're not goyel after the Yovel cycle has begun and you're working with the Geroyan system? What's the reason why you cannot count a half a year? Mishum de mechashu chadashim mehegdish, because hegdish for its detriment will never count a half year. It's only when it's for its betterment, like you're 1.5 years left until the Yovel, that there's no Geroyan system. There's only a chamishim shkolim system. So there, the person cannot say, well, I'll count it as 2 full years and I'll only pay a sel and a punjin per year. No. There, where it's to the advantage of hegdish, there they say, no, we're not counting it as a full year. We are counting the chadashim. You don't have 2 full years and therefore you cannot use the Geroyan system. So it comes out that we have now 2 pshatim in the Mishnah between Rav and Shmuel. What is the pshat for Loigoyel and Acher Yovel Pachas Mishana? According to Shmuel, the pshat is that during Yovel you do not make pidgin because there's no Hegdish during Yovel itself. Then there's a separate halacha, the next halacha, Ein Mechashim Chadoshim LaHegdish, in the middle of the Yovel cycle, as we explained. And according to Rav, these two halachas are really one halacha, and one is giving the reason of the other. Loi goyel and achra yovel, not the year of yovel, but the yovel cycle. Once you're in the Geroyan system, you cannot use pachas mishana achas. You cannot pay based on less of a year. Proportionally, I'll pay for less of a year. Why? In my time, what's the reason? Because ein mechashrin chadoshim lehegdish.